Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. It's great to be back with all of our listeners again today. And this is a very special time for us here on Search the Scriptures, but also all across the country and around the world. This week, I plan to do some special lessons to help us focus a little bit, probably a little bit more rationally, but also with some encouragement and hope. A lot of people are very caught up these days in what I would like to call irrational fear. Now, there is fear that is normal and to be expected, and I guess it's something that's just part of our human nature, but that kind of fear, when it develops into what I call irrational fear, that is really unreasonable and beyond the norm, well, then that really kind of shuts people down. It gets people going in a sense of extra concern and uncertainty, and then that can develop into panic if it's not controlled. And panic that is uncontrolled then can develop into very irrational behavior, even violent behavior. And there's no need for that. This is a different time, but it is a time that God will get us through. God is still there, and God is still in control. I don't believe we're to understand that God created this virus, brought it upon mankind, caused it to sweep around the world and make so many people sick and have so many people actually die. But God is in control in the sense that He's still there. He's the creator of this world. What we're seeing right now is something that has been very, very normal for mankind and the existence of this world pretty much since man was created and put on this earth. Now, certainly since man fell into sin. When he did that in Genesis chapter 3, and we've talked about this in the past, everything changed. And so death became a reality and everything that goes with death. And that is sickness and contagions. This is not the first virus or the first contagion that has swept across much of the globe and around much of the world, or even in this country. It is simply another one. All the others, mankind has gotten through, they're past, they're no longer, maybe remnants of them, but not the contagion that was there. And this one will pass too. God will be the one who sees us through, and God will be the one who ultimately brings us the deliverance. We can hang our hats on that. We can be absolutely confident of that. And so I want you to understand, as we begin this special series of studies here on Search the Scriptures, that you don't have to be fearful. Not the way that so many people are being fearful right now. I want to talk about hope. Hope makes life worth living. It really does. Hope gives our life direction and purpose and meaning. Without hope, we really are at a loss. We kind of go around without direction, if you would. Webster has defined hope in several different ways. I like the first one that I'm going to share with you. And this definition says, hope is a confident expectation that a desire will be fulfilled. I like that. I think that's a pretty good definition. But then he gives another definition, and this would fit for some people in the area of what they understand as hope, and that is just a wishful trust. Well, that's where a lot of people are with their hope and their hoping. They hope something's going to happen. They hope that they'll be able to do this or do that, but it's not really reality. It's more just a wild wish. Then there's another definition he gives, and that is something which one longs to see realized. Well, that's pretty common when we think of hope. Generally, what we hope for is something that we really would like to see happen. And so we hope for that. Then this is probably the best one that I picked out from Webster's various definitions of hope. Hope is the virtue by which a Christian looks with confidence for God's grace in this world and glory in the next. I like that definition because it pretty well fits in with what the Scriptures mean when they refer to hope, at least in the New Testament frame of reference, where we're talking about the hope that Jesus Christ brought to mankind in this world. Now, obviously, depending on who you're talking to and whatever the frame of reference is, hope can be described in different ways by different people with different perspectives. There is that wild hope. And probably just about every one of us has had that kind of wild hope at some point in our lives. That is a desire that is so far out, that is so fanciful, that there is virtually no reality to it. I heard about a young salesman. He was just getting started with a certain company, and he went to a sales meeting, and they were really trying to teach them and encourage them and kind of pump them up as to getting the product out there and what they could do and what they could accomplish. Now, this was quite a number of years back. It was already well into the year. And so after that meeting, he had a goal of making $1 million. Well, that was ambitious, certainly, but as far along as the year had already progressed, and his being a pretty new salesman, it was a pretty wild, unrealistic hope. Sometimes you'll have a high school student or a college student go into an exam, and they really hope that they will do extra well in that exam. But you see, they haven't done anything much to get ready to take that exam. They haven't done much in the way of study. They haven't done much in the way of really digging in and trying to learn and memorize the material. And so it's pretty much a wild hope that they're going to really get a good grade on that exam. Now, there's another kind of hope, and that's unrealistic hope. You might say, well, isn't wild hope unrealistic? Yeah, it is. But as I said, wild hope, how I've kind of identified it, is a hope that is so far out there, a desire that is so fanciful that there is virtually no reality to it. Now, unrealistic hope, the possibilities are there, but it's unlikely that it will happen. I remember reading a letter from a lady who seemed to pretty obviously be troubled with some either mental problems, or maybe just she was depressed, maybe she was just kind of down for that period of time and her thinking was not really very straight. And so she listed some things that she sought to accomplish, and she seemed to indicate, as I remember, and I believe I'm remembering pretty correctly, that she thought those were things that could really happen. And I thought, that's so far out. Now, is the possibility there? Well, maybe. But knowing her and knowing what she was hoping for, it was really almost absolutely unlikely that it was going to happen. Now, then there's real hope. Real hope that is kind of anchored in reality. And how we really want to talk about this and address it is the hope that is given to us, that is taught to us, that is projected through God's Word in the New Testament. The hope that goes with Christianity, that goes with Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior and God's Son. Real New Testament hope is not a wild hope that is virtually, absolutely unrealistic. It is not just that unrealistic hope that is pretty fanciful and, okay, maybe in the extreme possibilities, maybe it could happen, but it's almost certain that it will not. It's very unlikely. Real New Testament hope is the desire plus the expectation, with the confidence of fulfillment in that hope centered in Jesus Christ. You see, it's not that we can deliver on that hope, but it's that God, through Christ, will deliver on that hope. So it's desire plus expectation. When you're talking about the hope that Jesus brought us, it's not unrealistic. It's not wild. It's not a blind leap in the dark. It is the realistic desire plus the expectation of its fulfillment, with the confidence of that fulfillment centered in Jesus Christ. Not in us, not in the world, not in anybody else in the world, but in Jesus Christ. Right now, the world, and we live here in the United States of America, our country is looking for hope. Right now, people are looking for something hopeful to grab onto. Now, a whole lot of people are looking in the wrong places. They're looking to government officials, they're looking to politicians, they're looking to laws, they're looking to medical science researchers, they're looking to doctors. Now, I'm not saying that any of those entities are not important, that they're not realistic, that they cannot help. But if those are the only sources through which you're looking for hope, then you're looking in the wrong places. God is the ultimate source of real hope, and the only ultimate source of real hope. Now, he can use government officials, he can use politicians, he can use researchers of medical science, he can use doctors and nurses and medical people of all sorts, he can use modern medicine and technology to bring deliverance, but it is God who will cause all of that to happen. Now, some people, they have gotten to the point where they just feel that they're too sophisticated to believe in God. And so something like this happens, and they don't put their trust in God. They don't put their hope in God. They're looking for men and women, humankind, to devise the solutions. Well, where do you think, even if you look at the smartest, most intellectual, and most scientifically skillful individuals doing the research to try to find a cure or a virus or something that can deal effectively with the coronavirus, where do you think those individuals get their intellect? Where do you think they come up with their understanding of medical science? It's not an accident. It's by God's design. God has designed us with that intellect. Going back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, when God had created everything else that he created in the world, then he came to what I call the crown of his creation, and that's man. And he said, let us make man in our image, in the image of God. Our image, after God's likeness, from a spiritual perspective, not that we will look like God physically, because God is spirit, but let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And so he created us that with a superiority to all else that he had created. In fact, he said, going on through verses 26 and through 28, he put man in dominion over everything else that he had created on this earth, because he created us special. He created us with an intellect that is far superior to anything else that he created, but also he created us with a moral essence that nothing else that he created has, because nothing else that he created was created in God's own image, after his likeness, spiritually. We have a soul. We have a spirit. We can understand the very principles of right and wrong and good and evil and righteousness and unrighteousness, because God made us unique from everything else, special. So he created us that way. The world is looking for hope. Our nation is looking for hope. But our real hope is not of this world. In Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 17, the Hebrews writer said this, for men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. Now, the word immutability there is kind of technical. It means simply unchangeableness. You see, God is not a changeable being. We deal with people who are changeable. They say one thing one day, and a few weeks later, they change their mind. They may tell us one thing today, and tomorrow, they don't follow through with it. But God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Lay hold of the hope set before us. And when God sent Jesus into this world with the gospel, that message of hope, that is a message of hope that we can count on, that we can be absolutely assured of. And that message of hope can actually be an anchor for our soul. Look at verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence before the veil. Boy, think about that. This is not a hope that comes from mankind, or hope that comes from some research in medical science. Now, those things are important, and they're good. They're not to be diminished unnecessarily, but we're talking about a hope that comes only from God. And this hope we can grab onto as an anchor for our soul. We need an anchor right now. People really need an anchor right now. They are going around, a lot of them, as I said, driven by fearfulness that in many cases has become irrational fear. And that has caused them to, well, just progress in a state of near panic, if not outright panic. You go to a grocery store and you're looking for paper products, and they're, most of them at least, are all gone. Why is that? Why has there been such a rush on bathroom tissue? Are our needs any greater now than they were a month ago or 2 months ago? But you see, people are panicking because they're afraid that certain commodities are going to become unavailable, and they are not, except through panic buying. And so people are so fearful that they'll run out of certain things that they just buy them up in such a quantity that they have never bought them up before in. So they're just storing them up, hoarding them, and they're actually depriving other people of necessities because they want to make sure that they've got enough. And they've not got enough just for this week or next week or even this month. They've got enough maybe for the next 2 or 3 or 4 months. Now that's irrational, panicky fear. And we need to let go of that. The grocery store trucks, they're going out every day. Depending on what part of the country you're in, you walk into a grocery store, and I know I'm experiencing that right here in Omaha, everything is there, except those very few commodities that for some irrational reason people are so fearful of not being able to obtain that they grab them up in excess as soon as they see them. And so other people who are starting to run short, they can't get them. We need to stop that. We need to come back down to earth and get our heads straight. Grocery stores are not going to run out of commodities, out of food, out of supplies, unless we go crazy about what we're going to buy and the quantity in which we're going to buy them. Someone was telling about a man, watching this man push a shopping cart through a parking lot from a grocery store just the other day, and said that man's shopping cart was full of meat. Now, why did he need all of that meat all at once? Did he really need that for seeing him through and his family through for the next week or two? But you see, by buying so much of one particular item, then that makes a shortage for other people to be able to have enough themselves. And so they run out. And the person who has overbought, they have more that they can really use for a reasonable period of time. We need to be considerate of others. We need to be rational. We need to be realistic. We need to calm down. Calm down. Stop listening to all of the negative hype that broadcast news is putting out there and the print media is putting out there. They're painting the whole scenario with this most incredible of broad brushes that everything is doom and gloom and horrible and what's going to happen. Come to realize that almost everybody who does get infected with a coronavirus recovers. Now that's not to minimize those who get sick. It's certainly not to minimize those who have died. But just look at the numbers. Almost everybody recovers. And we will get through this. God will give us the deliverance. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, we read the statement that with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. God is all-powerful, and he is still there. He didn't go away anywhere, and God is not fearful. And let me assure you that if we will walk with him in faithful obedience, that we should not be irrationally fearful. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Well, now that makes sense, doesn't it? It certainly does. It makes sense. We don't need to be unrealistically fearful even in this situation. And we just need to understand that God is there. Mankind has gone through this kind of thing in the past, and God will see us through this. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." A lot of people are in agonizing torment within right now because of their irrational fear and panic. Stop it. Believe God. Believe in God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for being all-powerful and being there for us. We thank you, Father, for seeing us through this epidemic and pandemic. Guide us to calm down, to be at peace in our hope that we have through you. Please forgive us and hear our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.